Steve? Glenn? Glenn? Go ahead.
I just want to share to you what's happened to me this week. The Lord has worked in me so much. As bullheaded and stubborn as I've been, the self-made man that I thought I was, I am so honored and blessed to know the Lord. And knowing that the Lord is the only way that I can get through each and every day. Because without Him, I'd be nothing. I can't do anything without Him. For all those 50-plus years that I thought I was doing it my way, I had a little saying, it was my way or the highway. Well, the highway came to me. It was the Lord. I was so blessed that I met Pastor Harvey. And I thought, everybody knows that I thought he was the most obnoxious man that I ever met. And he still is. But he's all about God. All about the truth. And the truth will make you free. And you know, you come to church on Sundays and you get all these goosebumps, as Harvey says, and this good feeling. Then you go home. Well, a lot of us during the week, we forget about that. But I don't anymore. Every morning I wake up, I thank the Lord that I'm alive. I thank Him for my lovely wife. I thank Him for each breath that I take. And I only hope that I can infect people with the Lord. I don't care if I have anything. Material things mean nothing. And my wife and I are trying to decide whether to sell our house. So we're going to put it up for sale. And if the Lord wants it to sell, even though the way the times are, it's going to sell. And if it doesn't sell, it's not supposed to. And that's how we're going to look at it. It's only the Lord that gets us through every day. We think that we can do anything. We can. And the Lord has just brought that to me so much this week that we can do no thing without Him. And to be honest with you, I don't want to do anything without Him. And I just hope and pray that as long as I live, before I go to my Maker in the sky with the Lord, that I can infect the Lord's name into everyone I touch. Because He is so awesome. He's given me everything that I have. And I am so thankful. So we need to be thankful for little things. And to be thankful for each other. But most of all, we need to thank the Lord every day.
Anybody else have anything to say? It doesn't have to be profound. It could be a question. It could be a statement. One time I stood up in church. When we were in transition, God was taking us through, He had just was taking us through a real hard time in our life. And I was used to, whenever we had testimony meetings, standing up, and they'd always say, "Now, Harvey, you only have 5 minutes." So I'd have to do it in two or three standings, you know, because they'd make me sit down after 5 minutes. So I'd give a few people a chance, and I'd get up again. Well, we went to a church, and we were going through a real hard time. And I had never understood being mad at God before. And I'd met a lot of people that were mad at God, and I couldn't understand that because I'd just been on cloud nine with Jesus for about 15 years. And see, I got saved in 76, so this would have been around 95. And people were standing up, giving testimony, "Oh, God is good, and oh, everything's wonderful." And I stood up and said, "I don't like it here. You people are weird. I don't want to be here. God won't let me go anywhere else. And I sure wish I didn't have to come here." And I sat down. Sometimes you might have things you need to say. You say, "Man, that's terrible that you said that." Well, can I ask a question? Does God want us to be honest or fake? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Honest.
Oh, Doesn't it say if we confess our sin, okay, He's faithful just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse from all unrighteousness? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, right? Okay? It's like God wants us to get honest. Somebody was telling me this week, I think, I don't remember who it was, but they said they were pouring out everything to God, they were mad at God. I remember who it was. And they were pouring out everything to God, and they were mad, and they got done, and they went, he said, I was just getting, just telling God everything, and I was telling God that I was mad at Him. And when I got done, they said, I said, now God, I'm going to ask You to forgive me, because it's not You that's wrong, it's me, I just don't know where. And I told him, I said, that was really good that you did that. Because you got to get honest with what's inside. This place is not about religion. It's not about entertainment. I tell you, if you want to go get entertained, there's a whole lot of ways you can go do that. You can go watch the television. You know, they film it out in Hollywood. You can go to all kinds of things that you want to do. Get entertained. You can go to churches and get entertained. If you notice, we got started right on time, about 11:15. You know, we don't really care about trying to keep a little schedule. Preachers have said to me when I've met different preachers and brought them into the presence of God in a way they weren't used to. Preachers, pastors of churches, leaders of ministry, and would spend time with them and bring them into the presence of God, and they would just go, how can I have more of God? How can I bring this into my church? And one of the things that God had me say to these preachers were, are you willing to take your bulletin and throw it away? And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, God doesn't perform like a seal. You know? I mean, it's not like you put Him on a little bulletin and say, now here's what God's going to do. I said, because God doesn't work like that. I said, I want you to know He's a real person. He's not a religious being. He is a real person who made us in His image. And He's creative. And He's spontaneous. That's why we want to turn every service over to Him. When we were doing our last church, see, the last several churches we started have been against our will, against my will. But like I tell people, He thinks He's God and gets to do what He wants, and I find when I give Him His way, my life goes smoother. You will too, when y'all get that. Okay? Last week, I like what Glenn said. He said, thank you for repeating yourself, because it took me a while to get it. I said, that's why God has me keep saying it over and over again. People say, why are you just going to say the same thing? If you got it, He wouldn't have me keep saying the same thing. I'm serious. There are things that we need. One of the best methods of teaching is repetition. Like I tell parents all the time, you only have to deal with your kids for about 18 to 21 years. And you're never going to think they're going to take. But if you're faithful till they move out, you'll be surprised. You will! The day before our kids would move out. You know, and we've had 5 of them that have done that. Thank you, Jesus. And when they, the day before they moved out, they don't put the lid on the toothpaste. They don't turn the lights off. They don't fold the stuff in the drawers. They don't, you know, put the dishes away or clean them or whatever, all the stuff my wife wants to do. Yes, dear, you're right, I'm wrong. And all that stuff. But once they move out, we just kept being faithful, thinking, it's got to work one of these days. God said so. And then when they moved out, you go over to their house, and every one of my kids is a blessing. I go to their house, they put the tooth. I mean, it's not, they're not a blessing because of this, but I'm just trying to tell you. All those things we taught them when they were growing up, they took. But parents, you're never going to think they took. Have you ever heard a parent say, I've told you 1,000 times? Well, maybe they need 10,000. We're all slow learners. We got thick stuff between our ears. I'm sorry. Did you hear what I said? I'm sorry. Amen. Yes, that's right. Woe is me. God, get me. Don't thank You for loving me like I am, but don't leave me there. I love what... Does anybody have anything to say? Because I only have a short story. Does anybody have anything to say? God doing something inside of you? You need God to do something inside of you? Anybody? Anybody? Yes, Roxanne. Come here, Roxanne. You don't have to. Stay right there, Roxanne. Pretend you're yourself. Go ahead.
I just want to say, I know Glenn just got up and talked about all the hard stuff he's been through. And,
go ahead.
And I just want to say that, you know, I've been praying that he would be healed and that he'd start listening to me. And
typical life prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just seemed like he wasn't getting it. So, I don't know, this past week just seemed to be a little different. He's kind of taken his hands off the steering wheel and letting God lead him. And, you know, when I was praying, I kept thinking, oh, you know, it's Glenn. You know, he's really got to have some help, Lord. And when I got to praying and got in pretty deep with him, he said to me, you know what? Glenn's not the only one. You better take a look at yourself. And I'm like, me, Lord? I thought I was doing okay. And he just... Yeah, we got another week coming here, you know. But I realized that it wasn't just him that needed help. It was me, too. And it just took me back a little bit because I thought I was trying to help him, and maybe I was in a way, but I really needed help myself in order to help him the right way. So that's what I wanted to say.
Does anybody else? Does anybody have anything to say? Question, comment? Yes, dear. Yes, go ahead. And he wants that.
In the newspaper or whatever, and we're not planning on living there forever.
Right.
So we don't want to put up a mortgage payment, and so we want to try to get a house that has a cheap enough rent and mortgage payment that we can get, because we're struggling, obviously, with finances, and so we just have prayers. So we just need prayer for a house.
Are y'all getting kicked out right now, or is he just putting pressure on you that you have to move? Pressure that you have to move because it's his house. He's going to move back in when his house sells.
No, he's actually planning on moving to Tennessee.
Oh.
Yeah. So either we buy the house or.
Oh, I see what you're saying. And you don't really want to buy the house.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Decent neighborhood that's cheap enough, something that we can afford.
Can we pray for them?
Yes.
Would that be okay? Let's take some time, pray for them right now. Father, we're asking that you would meet this need. I'm just thankful that they would bring their need to you, because you're the need meter and you're bigger than any need we have. And we just want to lift them up and ask that you would guide and direct their steps. I love in Proverbs where it says, the way of the righteous is made plain, and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we're just asking that you would supply, that you would provide, that you would direct their thoughts, you would direct their steps. And Lord, that you would just put them on people's hearts here, or raise up intercessors for them that would lift them up and pray for them. Sometimes when we're going through the battle, we need others being our lifter up of our heads, lifter up of our arms. And I'm asking that you would help us. I like that verse that says that we lay down our lives for another, that's what it's all about. And Lord, that's what we want to do, is give our lives for them and ask, teach us how to pray for them and how we could minister to their need. And we're just asking, we're committing them into your hands and asking that you would take care of them and provide this need. Somebody else like to pray? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If the Lord brings people to your mind, I just thought I'd give this to you. This was like something I picked up along in life. When God brings people to my mind, He's not into gossip. Guess what He's into? Prayer. And God limits Himself by praying. He leads us to pray. There's a verse that says, He says, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, and there was none. It's a verse in the Old Testament. And it's a sad verse. God wants us to intercede for each other. Somebody look up Galatians chapter 6, I believe it's verse 2. Would you see so? Somebody. We're going to look in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. But I want you to realize when Wayne was playing these songs, he's going to be a preacher. It's okay. His name's Isaiah, right? I love it. What's that Galatians 6:2? What does it say?
Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
That's the verse I was trying to think of, and God wouldn't bring it to my mind there. That's what God wants us to do, is bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you?
Yes.
Guess how to do it. We make choices. Our life is a sum total of the choices we make. We make choices. Let's lift up Jason and his wife.
Yes.
Let's pray for them. When God brings them to your mind this week, if He doesn't, don't worry about it. If He brings them to your mind, I'm not asking you to make a list of all these things, but it's like, Lord, I'm willing to pray for people. So God brings different ones of you to my mind during the week. Sometimes He says, call them. Sometimes He says, pray for them. Okay? Whatever. Sometimes He says, confront them. Sometimes He says, hug them. Whatever. It's like, you can't improve on what He says. But I like when Wayne was playing those songs, because a lot of those songs that he was playing were right out of the Bible. You have your Bible? Turn over to Psalm 121. I'll show you something real quick. Got a Bible? Psalm 121. Everybody got a Bible? Well, if you ever come here and you don't have one, then what I'm going to do is give you one to open up here and use it. You got one, I see. All right. Anybody else need one? Just open that thing up. One time when I got saved, I was selling Bibles door to door. I was a drug dealer selling Bibles. What a contradiction. And as I went door to door asking somebody to tell me how to get to Jesus, I was taking around brand new Bibles. Okay, I was carrying around a little satchel. And I said, listen, I was reading the Bible last night and I got questions. Are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I'm an American. You go to church? Oh yeah, twice a year. Well, need or not, I'm a C&E Christian. I go Christmas and Easter. You know anything about Jesus? Oh, I know all about Him. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. They just smell. And for 5 hours, all I got was a bunch of opinions. And I remember I handed a Bible to somebody like this. And it had the plastic on it. And I handed it to him and I said, because I kept asking people, do you got a Bible? Show me the answers in the Bible. And for 5 hours going door to door, and I ran from door to door because I was going to go to hell that day if I didn't find the answer. And I ran from door to door, and I asked people questions, and I would say, open the Bible, I want to show you something. Or I want you to answer, you know, show me something. I want you to show me Jesus. And I remember I handed a Bible like this to somebody, and they took it, and they held it like it was like an egg or something, you know. And I said, would you, because I kept asking, do you have a Bible? Well, I know it's around here, Brent, last year or two. I mean, they didn't say that necessarily, but that's what they might as well have said if they were honest. So I would hand them a Bible. And the very first one I handed it to, she took it, held it like it was an egg. I said, would you please open it and show me the answer? You told me you go to church. But it's a Bible. I said, it's a book. Open it up. Take the plastic off and tell me. What good does it do to sit here and say, oh, it's a holy book, and we don't never touch it? We need to get it in us. I heard somebody say one time, if you see a Bible that's wore out, the Christian that has it isn't. I'd rather wear my Bible out than let life wear me out by not having the Bible in me. In Psalm 121, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And it goes on, da-da-da-da-da-da. If we read it, it says, oh, I should use these glasses somewhere, wherever they are. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. I wrote in my Bible, if God's going to stay up, then we don't need to. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. God's into preservatives. I like that. He shall preserve thy soul. That was humor. Don't worry. Didn't quit my day job. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That was a song that that was a place in the Bible that inspired one of those songs that Wayne just sang. Almost everyone, as a matter of fact, everyone that he sang this morning, verses were coming to my head while he was singing them. It was like they got them right out of the Bible. There's a lot of songs in the Bible. I like them. Where's that one, Lord? Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible. I want you to... We used to have a bus route, and I just want to sing this one. This wasn't in my notes, but I want to sing it for you to see where it goes. 1 Timothy 1:17 or something like that. Keep these things on. How's it go? Here it is. 1 Timothy 1:17. Do me a favor. Turn there. I just want to... This is just a freebie. I just add this in. But it's a song. There's a lot of songs in the Bible. You can just take that verse and sing it. Sue and I took one of the verses and turned it into a song one time. I think it was Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. But anyway, look at 1 Timothy 1:17. We used to have a bus route on when we were over in Pontiac, Auburn Hills area. And we used to go pick up all these kids and bring them to church. And then my wife and I did the junior church. And we had, you know, kids of every color and everything and nationality and whatever. It was kind of different. Well, we were singing this song one day because I taught the kids all these songs out of the Bible. And the song goes like this. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And as we were singing it, I heard something that didn't sound right. And so God said, quit singing and listen. So I listened, and one of the little black kids was singing, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only white God. And I was like, no, he's not a white God. You know, I'm sorry, that's just what the kid did. And I thought it was kind of interesting that that's what we do when we read the Bible. We kind of change things. Turn over to Psalm chapter 1. I want to just show something to you. Read one chapter and talk about it a little bit, I think, and we'll be done. Psalm chapter 1. I was praying for this church this week. I was praying for you. And this is what came to me while I was praying. I just felt like God was speaking this to me. And I felt like he said, read it to the people. And all I just saw was me reading it. And as I started sharing it with Sue, she, as I was quoting it to Sue, Sue was preaching it back to me of all this stuff she was getting out of it. And I just thought, I'd really like you to look at this. Psalm chapter 1. Are you there? Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I just want to say a couple things. Open up, maybe I'll ask you what you see in this, and tell you a little what I see. But I just felt like God told me to write this down. This is not a place of entertainment nor religion. I met a guy yesterday at Best Buy that was not dressed the way most people are dressed. And he looked different. And different things about him, okay? And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at him. I'm looking at him. You just go for it, buddy. No, it's okay. It's okay. Let him go. It's exciting, isn't it? I know it. I like it when I'm in my car. Yeah, you keep going. Yes, go, go, go. Go all the way to the end. And then you get stopped. Oh, yeah. This is not a place of entertainment nor religion. I talked to this young man yesterday. I'm sitting there looking at him. And when people are not looking like everybody else, I always figure there's something inside of them that's crying out. There's something, why are they doing this? You know, why do they look like this? And so when I see somebody like that, I'm like, Lord, is there something you want me to say? Because see, God, there's no such thing as an accident in the life of a Christian. My Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord directed me in this differently dressed person into my life. Okay? I see a lot of them when I'm driving and I go, Lord, help them. You know, touch them, draw them, heal them, fill their need, meet their need. I don't always know how to pray, but I find myself praying for a lot of people as I'm driving. Sometimes God has me stop and say things or go buy them some food or whatever, but whatever. And I saw this guy yesterday at Best Buy, and I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to say? And he said, look at what he has on. And I was looking at it, it was like, yeah? And I noticed, have you ever seen the Catholic picture of Jesus, and it's got like this starburst coming out from like a heart with this starburst coming out. I go into a lot of homes and I see a lot of different religious pictures and stuff, and I see this in Catholic homes a lot of times, and they'll have this, it's like Jesus with this bursting radiant heart. And I saw that, and then he had something. And I don't know if this was a rock group or what, but on his, it's not called black tie. Oh, it's called a laptop. On that's what he was taking back to Best Buy. And on it, it said Fate of Angels. Is that a rock group or something? Or, well, see, I didn't know. And I thought, maybe it is. Here, you want to try somewhere else? Here, we'll go this way. Wah! You're a heavy little hot dog. Okay. What? Oh, there you go. Bam, bam. Okay. Pebbles. Bam, bam. And it said, Fate of Angels. And I felt like God said, he's got a God consciousness, like there's something about God that is drawing him. He doesn't know what it is, but he's attracted to God, and he's looking. And so I got when I had gone in, God had told me to bring one of my tracts. You'll see him over at the door. It tells people about Jesus. And God had told me when I was going into that store, matter of fact, I tried to get out of the car twice, and the Holy Spirit kept saying, grab some of these, put them in your pocket. And so I knew that he wanted me to give one to somebody. I didn't know who. And when I was standing there praying for this person in front of me, I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, give him one of these. And I said to him, I waited till he got done with the person behind the counter. And I said to her, by the way, because her said she was Geek Squad, and I said, it's just what I've always wanted to be. I was on the Geek Squad. She goes, really? I said, no, ma'am, I was only kidding. You know, and I said, then she started laughing. But anyway, when she was done with him, whatever, then I handed this to him, and I said, this may be interesting to you. And he took it. And I said, I started to talk to him about Jesus, and he said, and I said, we are not a normal church. We're not into religion. He said, neither am I. And he started talking about whatever he said, but it sounded like that he would fit here, at least.